Well, a very good evening to you all, and a very warm welcome from me. My name is Tom Lake. I'm the vicar here at St Mildred's. It's been a great service so far, and my thanks to the musicians and to the choir. It's been wonderful. There's only one more carol to go, and it's been great to sing those wonderful carols. I love the carols. I don't know about you. Sometimes people who work in church, people like me, they say that they get bored of the Christmas carols, but I love them, so it's great to be here this evening. You know, there were a few surveys done during the course of the last year, surveys about different things. I don't know how you respond to those surveys. I always find them quite interesting, for a moment at least, to see what they found out. I was rung by a chap the other day on the phone, and I thought, I'm always reading these surveys, so I better at least do one at some point. So I answered his questions, but he couldn't tell me where I'd be able to find the results, unfortunately. But there was a survey that said only one in three schools around the country now do a proper nativity play. The rest, two-thirds of the schools in the country, now do some other modern kind of retelling of the story. Thankfully, our local school, Baring, do a proper nativity. So I thanked Mrs. Brewer, the headmaster there. In another survey, they've asked people whether they were planning to go to church at all over the Christmas period. And only in this country, 20%, one in five, said they were. So well done. You're all here this evening, so you've made it. You're a minority in the country now, because only one in five said they were going to. So we're just going to consider a little about the Christmas story, the story told in the Gospel of John that we just had read to us. Because I think one of the difficulties that we face as a country is people don't really understand what Christmas is about anymore. Yeah, they just think it's just this nice message of the baby in the manger. I was talking to my children the other day, reading one of a children's story of the Christmas message to them, and it always irritates me how adults seem to want to sanitize everything for children. And so when Christians tell the story of the Bible, it all is so sanitized, and all the photos, everybody's smiling. The baby himself is smiling in the manger. The donkey's got a smile on his face. And then, you know, the story goes on. If you know the story of the Nativity, goes on to say that Herod is so angry that the Messiah has been born that he wants to kill Jesus. And so an angel comes to Joseph in the night. He says, get out, flee in the middle of the night, take your wife and small child and run to a country thousands of miles away you've never been before, because someone wants to drive a sword through the heart of your newborn boy. Guess what Mary's got on her face as she travels on the donkey? A huge smile. Oh man, it would never happen. It's so unrealistic. Jesus was born a normal birth. In fact, he was born in poverty. When the king came, he didn't say, give me luxury, I'll take the Ritz. He was born in a manger. Mary would have been stressed out of her mind. Joseph would have been utterly beside himself. That's the reality of the Savior's birth. And that's what they should show in children's retellings of it, really. He was born a normal birth. He came for normal people. So this Christmas, we're going to think, what is so wonderful about the Christmas message? You'll see there's a word that John used, if you were paying attention in that last reading. In the beginning. See, John, the writer of this gospel, he says you can't understand Christmas unless you rewind. In fact, you can't understand Christmas. Before I tell you about Jesus' birth, I'm going to go back much further to the beginning. Because unless you know this, Christmas will not make sense at all. In the beginning. Some things you just don't make sense unless you're there for the beginning, do they? I don't know if you have ever had that experience where you walk in through a film that's already started, and you get in halfway through, you've missed the beginning, and suddenly you find yourself baffled. It happened to me once watching Star Wars. And you're one of those irritating people, if you're like me, those irritating people who doesn't mind asking questions through the movie, or as everyone else is watching, and you start going, this doesn't make sense to me, let me just ruin the film for you as well while I ask questions. Well, if you're like me, that's what you do. So you ask, this guy, Luke Skywalker, who's he? Right, and he's related to who? The scary dude with the breathing problems? Okay. And who's this fish man with the goggle eyes? Jabba the what? And the bear who can't speak properly, why is he flying the spaceship? The problem is, unless you're there at the beginning of the film, you just, none of that makes sense. Actually, for me, it doesn't make sense anyway sometimes. I'm terrible at understanding films, so even if I have been there from the beginning, I'm going, just tell me about this. Or maybe you've had a conversation around the water cooler at work, and you notice some thick tension between two members of the group, and you're kind of thinking, whoa, is there something in this water? What was that about? And after they've left, you say to another member of the group who says, oh, they've got history. In other words, there's something you need to know before this conversation about their relationship. Some things don't make sense. It's a bit like that with the Scottish referendum, I think, wasn't it? People looking on around the world, at our country, they're kind of confused about why these two nations are having a little thick conversation over the water cooler. And the answer is, well, they've got history. If you don't know British history, the history of these isles, then you won't understand how it is that we live together well and peacefully and in unity in some ways, but we also, you know, the Scots want England to lose no matter who they're playing and that sort of thing. And John says the same. You can't understand Christmas unless you understand the beginning. Verses 1 to 3. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now, this Word, that's a name, a title. It's like we have titles, Prime Minister or King or something like that. It's a title, and the title is Word. And it turns out, as you read, that this Word is Jesus, the one born in the manger 2,000 years ago. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Now here comes the big punch. Through him, all things were made. Without him, because John, he wants to drum that, he wants to make it clear what he's just said, so that you don't miss it. Through him, all things were made. He could have just stopped there, but he goes on. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. What he's saying is that Jesus didn't come into existence 2,000 years ago. He's the creator. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing. Look at that word, nothing. That means you and me. Nothing was made without him. I owe my very existence to Jesus of Nazareth, is what this text is telling us. It doesn't matter whether I believe that or not. My opinion doesn't change the reality. The Bible is saying all of us were made by him. He is the creator of everything. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. The Bible says also he sustains everything. He makes it go. He makes it happen. My heart is beating now, but every beat of it is because he says it will happen. He's the creator of everything. And that's what's special about the Christmas message. The creator came into his own creation. The one who made mankind became a man himself. It's an extraordinary idea to think that the creator could become part of his own creation. But that's the message of the scriptures, of the Bible. The eternal Son of God became man. You know, another survey that was done, I mentioned the surveys that were done, said, you know, there was that comet, Philae comet, and they landed, amazingly landed, kind of a probe onto the comet recently. Well, around the time, they did a survey asking for people's opinions about when how the Earth came into existence. And people were asked in this country, how do you personally think life on Earth began originally? How do you think life on Earth began originally? Do you know, in this country, only 15% answered it was created by God. Amazingly low. In America, it was 53%, over half. Here, only 15%. More people believe life came via a comet hitting the Earth than believe God created it. Well, there you have your answer as to why only 20% of the nation is in church at Christmas time. Because if you don't believe God created the world, you'll never understand Christmas. In the beginning was the Word. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. So why did he come? Why did the Son of God, the eternal Son of the Father, who created the world, come into his world? Why do that? What's going on there? Do you know that's, I don't know if you've seen this advert, I'm sure you have, of the Sainsbury's made it with the British Legion. If you were paying attention there, you'd have seen the Hofmeister beer advert bear from the 1980s, who was George, but I moved on from that story, I'm afraid. This is the advert that Sainsbury's made with the British Legion. You know, 100 years ago, at this Christmas time, was when the First World War was in full flight, but the first Christmas happened. And Sainsbury's made this retelling, based on historical fact, of the night on the Western Front when they were in the trenches, and they stopped briefly, met in no man's land, and they played football, the two sides, and they exchanged gifts, and they talked about home. And then the bombs started again the following day, and they all went back into their trenches and started killing each other again. It's terribly poignant. Have you seen the advert? I'm sure many of you have, because it really packs a punch. They did it so well. What an idea that these guys who shared what home was like, who gave gifts, who played football together, would then get back into their trench and then have to start killing each other. Will there ever be peace on the earth? Will there ever be a lasting, eternal peace, one that doesn't just happen for Christmas Day? Well, Scripture does say, the Bible says, that he came to call us to peace with each other. But, and here's the thing, it says that that can only happen if we have peace with him, with God. And that's the primary thing Jesus, the Creator, came into his creation to call us to peace with him. That's what the message of this text is. In verses 10 to 13, Jesus, the Word, was in the world, and though the world was made through him, though he made it all, the world didn't recognize him. Why? Because we turned our backs on him. That's what the Bible calls sin. He came to that which was his own. Everything he owns everything because he's its creator, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him and believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You see, what's going on is the Creator is coming with his arms up. And he's saying, listen, you're at war with me. You may not realize it. You may think you're just living a normal life. But because you don't acknowledge me, that makes you at war with me. And he comes into his world and he goes, I'm calling you to lay down your arms. Return to me. Put down your weapons. I'm coming to claim you back again, to call you to peace with me. I'll even let you kill me, which is the Easter story. He lets them nail him to the cross in a bid to call us to peace and, of course, to die for our sins. End the warfare. We can end the warfare between each other when we end it with God. That's what we sang earlier, didn't we? Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn king. Peace on earth and mercy mild, God and sinners reconciled. That's the Christmas message in a nutshell. Christmas only makes sense if you understand the beginning, that the eternal Son of God, who made us, but from whom we turned away, has come into his world to call us back again. He was born of a virgin, placed in a feeding trough for animals, and he ultimately dies on a cross for our sin. And God is saying, come back to me. Turn from rejecting me and you will be my child. Come to me. I'm calling you back again to know me, to love me, to walk with me, to have my peace, to be my child. That's why it's such a wonderful message, Christmas, because the Creator came into his creation in love to call each one of us back. We would love to help you understand that message if that's new to you. I mean, it may well be, of course, a message that you've heard before or something that's new to you. If you go to the table on your way out in the middle of the two exit doors, there are a number of things you can just take away with you. One just says what's going on in St. Mildred's all through the year. Feel free to take that. Another is a Luke's Gospel. I'm sure many of you have a Bible, but sometimes we only have a very old translation with, you know, quite old words. Well, this is a bit more of a modern translation of Luke's Gospel. Feel free to take that if you'd like to. And one final one is Why Christmas? It's just a bit more of an explanation of many of the things I've just been talking about. So as I conclude, just to wish you all a very happy Christmas, the peace of God upon you and your household and family, and a wonderful new year as well. And let me just conclude with a prayer. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the message of Christmas, that Jesus was born in poverty. There was no room for him at the inn. He was placed in a manger. He came and lived a normal life to call normal people to himself. Help us to hear his voice this Christmas time, above all the noise around us, to hear him speaking and calling us to love him and to experience his wonderful grace and love for us. We ask in his name. Amen.